Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we have been studying together in a section of the New Testament known as the General Epistles. These epistles are the epistles of James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Jude. And I've pointed out before that this section of the New Testament is a very important part of God's Word. Some of the teachings are not exactly the same as the teachings of Paul, because the emphasis of Paul is very, very different in some of his books. Paul is emphasizing the means of salvation, the cause for salvation, and the means of salvation. But these books are mainly emphasizing the proofs of salvation. Once a person has professed to know the Lord Jesus, since he has professed to know him, the question would be, is there any proof in his life of his salvation? And this is a major question we have to face today, because sometimes very shallow decisions are made for Christ, where people are not really in their hearts trusting him as their Savior. They simply have responded by raising their hand, by answering a few questions, by praying a little prayer of some kind, but in their hearts they have never truly trusted him as their Savior. And I want to emphasize again, as I've emphasized before, that once we are saved eternally. We're saved not by our works. We're not saved by anything we have done. There is nothing in our lives to merit our salvation. We're saved entirely by the grace of God. So once we're saved forever. It's eternal life that God gives to us. The Lord Jesus gave this promise, I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man take them out of my hands. Now, we've been going through these general epistles. We've already covered the books of James and 1st and 2nd Peter, and we're just beginning the study of the text of 1st John. We've just begun this, and in our last lesson, we talked about 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And let me just briefly review this for you. In these four verses, John is reviewing his testimony, the fact that he had actually been with the Lord. He was a very close associate of the Lord. He had followed the Lord from the very beginning. There was hardly a single thing that the Lord did or said that John had not witnessed or heard. So John is able to give a clear testimony that he is an authority concerning the life of Christ, and he is fully qualified to testify concerning the things that Jesus himself emphasized, the fact that Jesus himself emphasized the importance of proofs. And so in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, John gives this testimony, and he shares with his readers his position in relationship to the Lord, and is earnestly desiring that they would make his heart glad by following the Lord with all their hearts. I want us to turn now in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to read all 10 verses because it's a rather short chapter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we are lying and do not tell the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now we're looking now at chapter 1 of 1 John, verse 5, to chapter 2, verse 29. We before pointed out that the theme of this book is the proofs for true salvation and true relationship with Christ. And so each of these sections of 1 John are going to deal with this title. This has to do with proving true salvation by walking in the light. Chapter 1, verse 5 to chapter 2, verse 29. First of all, verses 5 to 7 of chapter 1. Failure to walk faithfully in the light proves the falsity of any claims to salvation. In other words, a person who has come into the light is going to show at least some indication that he is walking in the light, that he belongs to the one who is the light of the world. The Lord Jesus himself, of course, said, "I am the light of the world." So when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a change in our lives, and part of this change is going to be that we're going to desire to walk in the light of His Word, in the light of His presence in our lives, in the light of the hope that we have. And so there'll be some claims in our lives to salvation because we're walking in the light. Now, there are changes that do take place in our lives. And one of the main changes that comes to our lives when we're saved is that we're no longer oriented towards our old relationship with the family of Satan. I have emphasized this again and again, and I want to emphasize it again today. The orientation has to change. Before we were saved, according to Ephesians 2, 1-3, we were living in the family of Satan. We belonged to his realm. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air. And we walked with his people. We walked with his sins. His habits were in our lives. Now, some of us may feel, well, I didn't get very deeply into it. Nevertheless, we all were hopeless lost sinners. Whether we were terrible lost sinners in the eyes of men, whether we were self-righteous people, whoever we were still hopeless lost sinners. So the darkness of that relationship sometimes still remains in the lives of people who profess to be saved. They still live in that darkness. They're oriented towards the family of Satan, in other words, and towards our companions from before. But now that we are saved, we're oriented towards the Lord and the light that He brings into our lives. And this is very, very important. When a professing believer continues to walk in the darkness of the old life and relationship with Satan and his family, with no interest at all in walking in the light, it casts doubt on his salvation. Now, just think for a moment with me. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 has this to say, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may increase? God forbid. How can we, who are dead to sin, live any longer therein?" In other words, there's a new orientation now. Grace is not simply to deliver us from our sin, but grace is to bring us into the life of the Christian. Life in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not only eternal life when we die, but it's a life we're going to live now here on this earth. And so when Christ has come into our life, these changes are going to take place. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the change that mainly takes place is that our orientation is changed. We're no longer looking at the world of Satan, but now we're looking towards God. Now, in verses 8 to 10, he has this to say, "We're to constantly acknowledge our sinful needs, and we're constantly to be cleansed from sin. And this is going to prove that we're walking in the light." I have tried to emphasize before that we are not perfect when we become Christians. We are going to have daily things that creep into our lives. Sometimes it's going to be in the thought life. We're going to think thoughts that are not pleasing to God. Evil thoughts even may pop into our minds. We may speak words that are not pleasing to God, words of bitterness, words against someone else, words of anger sometimes. We may have bitter feelings, feelings against other people, feelings against the circumstances in which we live, and so forth. And so whether it's feelings or attitudes or words or actions or thoughts, we're going to be tempted daily to sin. The question for the Christian is not sinless perfection. The question for the Christian is, what will he do about the daily sins? In other words, does he really desire to walk righteously before God? So a person who is truly saved is going to have a deep concern, let me put it this way, about the daily sins that he commits and how they affect his life and his relationship with the Lord. In other words, he's going to be tender to the speaking of the Holy Spirit. He's not going to willfully proceed with these sins. When a sin comes into his mind, for instance, some evil thought, he confesses it before God. He gets it right with God. This is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So a Christian who is truly born again will not permit these sins to accumulate in his life over a period of time, hurting his relationship and fellowship with the Lord. Rather, he will daily deal with them by confessing them and having cleansed from his life. Now, another passage would be John 15, 1-3. I've mentioned this before, and I want to mention this again to you now, where the Lord Jesus emphasizes the daily cleansing by the Father of the branch. And we are the branches, of course. He says he is the vine, and we are the branches. And so the Father is daily cleansing the sins that deal with our lives. Now, dealing with these sins also helps us to desire to live more righteously before God and to avoid these daily temptations we face. In other words, we face daily temptations. We don't have to continue in them, because as we face them daily, as we confess them daily, we're going to be more conscious of the temptations when they come. We're going to be less willing to yield to them. We're going to be aware of the dangers they face in our lives, or that they bring to our lives. And so this is very important. Now, in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we want to continue our study. And this has to do with depending on the work of Christ in constantly dealing with our sins. Depending on the work of Christ. How wonderful it is that Jesus not only died for our sins, but according to these two verses, he is now making intercession for us in heaven. How wonderful this truth is for our lives. In chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we read these words, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Now this phrase, advocate with the Father, the fact that Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father, and now when one of God's children sins, he is advocating, he is presenting, in other words, his sacrifice to the Father. I died for this man. He has trusted me as his Savior, and now I am speaking on his behalf. How wonderful this truth is for us. Now, depending upon this, in dealing with our sins, proves that we are also walking in the light. In other words, when I do sin, I don't sin purposely, but when I do sin, I have an advocate with the Father. And so we're daily grateful to the Lord Jesus for this ministry of the Lord. His intercession has to do with the daily temptations we face and the daily sins we commit. For the one who has truly trusted him as Savior, these are already covered and forgiven by his shed blood. But these daily sins do hurt our fellowship with him, hurt our relationship with him. And so, as this passage suggests, Jesus constantly brings our daily sins to the attention of the Father. How wonderful this truth is. We therefore have confidence that our relationship with him in salvation is an eternal one, that even our daily sins that hinder our fellowship with him, as we confess them, live tenderly our lives before God, and live in right relationship with the Lord, these sins are taken care of by him, and our fellowship with him is maintained and enriched. Now, it's wonderful to have this fellowship with the Lord Jesus. It is possible that some of you who are listening have never gone very deep into this fellowship with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, for instance, in John 15, verses 4-6, "Live in me, and I in you." He's speaking there of the deep appreciation we're to have daily for him. Some Christians have never experienced this to any great extent, and it's something we need to experience. We need to daily remember our former position as lost sinners, and then the mercy of God which came upon us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to daily remember these things. We need to give thanks to God for them. We need to bow before his throne and love the Lord Jesus more and desire to be more devoted to him, more consecrated to him. So this is very, very important for us. So these sins do hinder our fellowship with him, and we want our fellowship to be as complete as possible. We want our relationship with him in salvation to be further enhanced by our daily fellowship with Him, our walk with Him. Sometimes we are like children who are not in good relationships with their parents. They need to get rid of the things that separate them from relationships and good fellowship with their parents. They still belong to the family, but they're not in good fellowship with their parents. Perhaps there are some issues between them, and these children have in some ways rebelled. And so in our relationship with the Lord Jesus, sometimes we're like those children. We allow things to hinder our fellowship with Him. Not our relationship to Him. We still belong to God's family, but we allow them to hinder our fellowship with Him. And so my suggestion to each of you would be, as we get into the study of 1 John, settle these issues between you and God. In other words, if there are sins on your hearts which are unconfessed, undealt with, get these things right before God. Let your heart be daily right with God. Some people do this at the end of each day. They simply pray in the words of the psalmist, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me." Many Christians have memorized that verse, or those two verses actually, and they use this as a basis for daily confession of sin. So this confession is sincere confession of sin. It is getting right with God in every way, knowing again that we have an advocate with the Father, someone who's pleading our case up in heaven, and that the Lord Jesus Himself not only died for our sins, but now He is daily presenting Himself before God as our advocate. And may the Lord help you, each one, to walk in closest relationship with the Lord and to deal with the daily problems and sins in your life. May the Lord bless you, each one.